Praise God. We're reading here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and also Philippians chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17 and then just one verse of scripture in Philippians chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's the phrase that I want you to look at in this text. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, take notice of that phrase, passing the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now flipping back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. If you look in the margin of your Bible, if you've got a pretty good Bible, it probably says our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about unfinished business. Unfinished business. Can we pray together? Lord, we just bring our needs to you today. We know, Lord, that you're the one that gives strength and help in every situation. And Lord, we just call upon you today because we know, Lord, that you're able to come and to bless and anoint the word of the Lord, cause it to go forth with power, cause it to have an effect upon people's lives. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Unfinished business. Unfinished business. Do you think about passing the sojourning days of your life? Your days with fear. Now, really, it's when you get to a little older age that you begin to look at things like this a little bit more seriously and from that different perspective. When you're young, the future seems a long way off. It doesn't seem like your life is just moving along at a snail's pace. When you get older, then you begin to reflect and look back upon your life and you think, how could this be going by so quickly? How is it possible I could be the father of a young lady who is going to be 34 years old and just about 4 months. How is that possible that that's happened? Well, our life, the scripture says, and we need to take note, first of all, of two things about our lives. If you want to make the best of your life and you want to live out the days of your life for the glory of God and to the fulfillment of his purpose, a couple of things you need to remember, and that is compared to eternity, your life is very, very short. Compared to eternity, life is very short. And the scripture describes it. Our life is like a vapor. It's just like a puff of smoke. It's here, then it's gone. And we consider that as you move into, you know, a little bit older ages, then it becomes not just a thought. It becomes a reality. You see the days and the weeks and the years just going by so quickly that it's just incredible. But you need to remember the fact that that we are, as the scripture says, we are citizens not of this world, but of another world. And this world is passing by. It's a temporary place. That's the second thing that we need to remember, is that this world is just temporary, and we should not get so attached to it. We should not put our roots down so deep that we are not considering the fact that God has a plan for us, and part of His plan is to live out the days of our life, whether they be many or few. Whatever that His plan might be, that we fulfill that, and we do it as aliens, the scripture says, pilgrims, strangers. We do it as sojourners, is the phrase that's used in the text today. We pass through this life as a sojourner, a pilgrim, a traveler, and we know that we are here for a divine purpose. Now, if there's anything that should be the bedrock of everything that we believe as Christians, it's that we understand that God has a plan, and we need to get right in step with that plan. And the first part of getting in step with that plan of God is to get saved. Be born again. Get it right with God. Be born of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins. Confess them and turn your life around by the grace of God, and begin to follow and seek after the plan of God for your life. That's the most important thing that you could ever do, is to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and begin live out the days of your life as a sojourner, just a pilgrim, not thinking that this world is all that there is. This week, former First Lady Betty Ford passed away. Was in the news talking about her accomplishments, and I think she was in her 90s, lived a long life, and they talked about the kind of person she was, and that she was involved in cancer awareness, and one of the major things that she was involved in was rehabilitation for those who were alcoholics and those that were in addiction to drugs, and I'm not taking away from what she accomplished, because I can say I'm thankful for people who do things that improve our lives. But it's one thing to receive these accolades as to accomplishments in life. That's one thing. But we need to also keep in mind that what's really important is that there is another accounting that's going to take place. And it's not in this life. It's in the life to come. We're going to stand before God, the creator of all of this world and all of this universe and everything that is, and we are going to give an account for our life. We're going to give an account for our days and what we did with what God gave to us. And that's an important thing. It's probably the most important thing that you could ever consider, is that one day you will stand before God and give an account of yourself to the Lord. God never intended that our lives just be lived out as an existence. Amen. We're not to just live out the days of our life as an existence. Just to live out the days, because God has a work, He has a plan, He has a purpose. And if you're not right in step with that purpose that He has for you, then you need to begin to seek after that. No matter if you are 12 years old or if you're 90 years old, you need to make sure you're on the path of God's purpose for your life. If you don't do that, then the Apostle Paul said, if you don't, then you're like a runner who's running, but he doesn't know the rules of the game. He doesn't know what the desired end of the race is. And so he's just running. That's what it says there in Corinthians. I just run as to uncertainty. Or so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Just fighting a fight, imagining someone in a fight, a boxing match, but they don't know who their opponent is. They don't even have an opponent. They don't have any purpose. They're just swinging into midair. There's no sense of purpose in what they're doing. So the Apostle Paul described a life without any purpose or any design for their life as someone who's trying to run a race, but he don't know why he's running, Or someone that's in a fight and he doesn't know why he's fighting. There has to be a sense of purpose, a sense of direction in your life. And that doesn't mean just for the missionary or for the pastor or for the few select people who feel like that God's called them to some full-time ministry. That's for everyone born of the Spirit of God. You may be a plumber, but you have to realize that God has called you to that task and he's going to put you in places where you can bring glory to his name and you can fulfill his purpose for your life in that role. That's not a demeaning role. There's no task or no job or no occupation that would be considered demeaning if you are in the will of God. Amen. Doing what the Lord wants you to do. I believe he wants us to seek after his will, seek after his purpose, and realize that every one of us, we have a divine assignment from God. You were born for that very reason. You were born to fulfill that and to do that. And if you're not, then there's unfinished business. You're going to live out the days of your life, and you're going to come to the end of your life, and you're going to say, what did I do? What did I do with my time? What did I do with what God gave to me? Did I just live out my days, just spend them for no reason? Is every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, do I just spend out those 24 hours of those days and never even consider that God had something he wanted me to do in those days? That he had a plan for me, a path for me to follow. And I believe that he does for every one of us. He does have a purpose. You remember that we see the example of this in several people in the Word of God. Jesus is the best example that we have. Remember when he's 12 years old and his parents have started their journey back home after being in Jerusalem for the Passover? They missed Jesus in all of the traveling, the crowd of people that are traveling. They notice he's not with them, and so they had gone a day's journey. They turn around and they go right back, and after searching for him, they found him in the temple. And there he is with the lawyers and the doctors, the Pharisees, and the doctors of the law of God. And there he is, and he is in conversation with them. He is even instructing them and teaching them, and is in this place, and his parents begin to ask him, what's going on here? I'm just putting it in our own language here. And his response was, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Now, I don't believe that this was a statement that was considered to be rude to his parents or not concerned about them, but what they saw, his parents, because it says that they were surprised, they were astonished at his response. Because what they really got was a little glimpse, just a little bit of an insight into the plan of God for Jesus Christ. They heard him say, I'm on business for my father. I have a job to do that my father has sent me to do. Now he went with them, the Bible says. He was subject to them, and for the next coming years until he was about 30 years old, we don't know anything about him except that he was subject to his parents and that he fulfilled his duty as a faithful son to them until he started his earthly ministry. Then again, he's about the business that he's called to do in that short ministry time, and all that was accomplished and all the kingdom principles that were taught and laid out there for us all. Then he comes to the very end. The trial, the scourging, the crucifixion. And finally he comes down to his last breath. And he says, it is finished. What was he talking about? Was he talking about his physical life? I'm sure he was. But he was talking about a much broader thing than just that he was about to die. It is finished. He was describing that the plan of the ages, the plan for which he was sent into this world, was now going to be accomplished. He was about his father's business, and now as he died there on the cross, we know that's not the end. But when he says it is finished, he has fulfilled the plan and the purpose of God for his life. Amen. That was Jesus, Joseph. Remember that God worked in Joseph's life. He wound up down in Egypt even though he was betrayed by his brethren, mistreated, sold into slavery, and all the things that happened to him down there in Egypt. Even false accusation and being mistreated by imprisonment. In all of that, yet God positioned him. And he recognized that. You never see any indication of his rejection of the plan of God or his resistance to it or any attitude that he had in reacting to how God was working in his life. But you saw the contrary, actually, because he said, "You, my brethren, you meant all this for evil, but God meant it for good." He understood that all that happened to him, bringing him down to Egypt, was there for the preservation of his people, for all of the nation, his family, his brethren. And that's how God worked in his life. He understood that he was on a course. He understood that there was a plan involved in what he was doing. And he just lived his life faithfully. When you get down to Genesis chapter 50, it says, "And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee." That's a pretty interesting thing. That's some grandfather business there. His children were brought up on his knee, and no doubt he taught them and he instructed them and he blessed them and made an impact upon his life. So even in his latter years, he's influencing the generations that are to come. And when his days of responsibility were through, the scripture says, verse 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die." He knew he was at the time. "I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And decades later, those that had made those promises to him, that when God would visit with a deliverer, generations later, then they would keep their promise and take the bones of Joseph and travel with them all the way to the promised land, and there was buried in that place that was promised to Joseph. His business was finished. His life was completed. He lived out the days of his life. He served the Lord for his divine purpose. Hebrews 11 and 22, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." He left everything well prepared and no unfinished business, completing his purpose in this world, and then move from this world into the world of the eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Apostle Paul, same thing happened in his life. Called of God, preserved of the Lord to be an apostle, used mightily of the Lord for those various missionary journeys, spreading the gospel throughout the whole known world. Paul was the mighty hand of God. Was used mightily. We have the majority of the New Testament because he obeyed God and was used of God, inspired of God to write. But then in 2 Timothy 4 and 6, he's speaking to his young spiritual son, Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." He understood. He wasn't just like running a race with no understanding of what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't fighting and just fighting the air with no sense of purpose. No, he said, "I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Unfinished business. What about you? I've given you some Bible examples, but now let's talk about you. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about our lives, the days that we're living out here in this world right now. Would you be honest with yourself? Would you really be honest with yourself? Have you found God's purpose for your life? Do you know with certainty that you're on course? Do you know with certainty that you're following and you're living out the days of your life? Not just in existence, but every step is making, is counting, and it is a part of the purpose of God. And you may be wondering, I don't know how I can do that, or I'm not sure if I'm doing that or not. I don't know if I'm really living out the days of my life and fulfilling the plan, the purpose of God. Someone has said that the best use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Amen. Someone's put a book out. It's my favorite not author. Everybody knows who my favorite not author is. He's got a new book out. And something like the title, something about outliving your life. Something like that. I haven't read it, obviously, but I like the title. I like the title. And because I do know that we need to be living our lives and we need to be living them, understanding that God has a purpose and what we do right now is going to count for time and eternity. So we can't waste the times that we have. We have to use them for the glory of God. Let me just give you a couple of suggestions. Number one, continue the work of Christ. However that you can be a co-laborer with Christ, then attempt to be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. Because whenever he left this world, then he handed to you and me the task, an unfinished task, an unfinished work. And that is the promoting of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And however that you can be a co-worker, workers together with God, then get in step with that. Get involved in the work of God. Get involved in bringing as many people into the kingdom of God as you can. If it's your neighbors across the fence, if it's giving money to missionaries, if it's just faithfully supporting different ministries, people that are involved in the work of the Lord, whatever you can do to get in line with the cooperative work of reaching the world for Jesus Christ, do that. Amen. Do that and be in that place of fulfilling the business for which we are called to do. But then specifically, each one of us, we need to be reminded of the blessing and the privilege of being able to work for God, being able to be an ambassador for the Lord. And you need to kind of pull up the stakes that you've got down so deep in this world and, you know, your life and your things and the things that you want to do and all the things that seem to be important to you and break ties with those things and begin to focus upon what can I do that's going to count for eternity's sake? What can I do? What can I do that's going to count for eternity's sake? John 14:12, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Step in line with and begin to cooperate with the work that Jesus was doing before he left, and then personally, specifically in your own life, begin to pursue after God's purpose for you. God's purpose in your life, and understand what a privilege that it is. Do eternal work. Do things that are going to count for eternity. Not very many things have any eternal benefit. Only a few things do. The Word of God does. People do. Hardly anything else that I can think of has any real eternal significance. So you can see where the most of our life and our strength and our energy needs to be devoted to truth and to souls. To people that are in need. Unfinished business. Unfinished business. I don't want to live out the days of my life and the things that the Lord has put in my heart over the years for them to not be accomplished. Amen. Next year in June, Marsh and I, if I live, everything goes along like it's been going. June next year, 30 years consecutively that we have been pastoring. That is a long time. That's a lot of years. Do I think that all the things that God put in my heart when I was a young man have been fulfilled? Absolutely not. Some of them have. Some of them have. But many of them have not. They're still in my heart. They're still a part of the vision and the burden that God gave to me. It's still unfinished business as far as I'm concerned. A great, great opportunity that the Lord has given to us right here at this local church, this local ministry here, that needs to be growing, thriving, moving forward with power, with anointing. We need to be in such a revival spirit that we're continuously seeing the hand of God working and people praying here in our altars day in and day out. And not a service goes by, but while we do not see the supernatural hand of God. Amen. Unfinished business as far as I'm concerned. Now, if I went to heaven tomorrow, I could certainly look back and say, thank you, Lord, you've been faithful to me and you have taken care of me. And I thank you for that. But I would have to say, Lord, there's some things that you put in my heart that I didn't see it fulfilled. I haven't seen it fulfilled. And so until those things are realized in my heart, in my life, then I want to commit myself to some unfinished business and to the work of God and asking the Lord, Lord, pour out upon us a wonderful anointing of your Spirit. Lord, begin to work among us, Lord, every one of us individually, that we would not just be going through the routine of church services, but Lord, that we would be on a track. We would be on a course, accomplishing what you want us to accomplish, doing what needs to be accomplished. You ever feel like that your life is just, you're just living it out? You're going to work, you're coming home, you're going to work, you're just going through a routine, you can't see. Let me tell you, I think it's time for all of us to get before God and begin to call upon the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've provided for me and you're taking care of me. I'm not suggesting that you quit your job or that you forsake your responsibilities. I'm just saying, make sure you're on course. Make sure you're on course for the calling and the purpose of God that he has for you. That you live out your life and there's no unfinished business. That you do the things that the Lord has called you to do. I think one of the things that happens to people who get to my age, I'm almost 56. People get to my age or older, they begin everything they look at their life. It's all reflective. We're all looking back. It's hard. The older you get, to look to the future. You think all the good that's done and all the good that's been accomplished and it was accomplished in your days when you were stronger or when you had things to your advantage. You know, really, that's the enemy. That's Satan's lies that convinces you that, because there are those that are listening right now in this service and you're in your 20s and you've got a young family and you're thinking, you know, if I could just get my family raised, then I would be able then to branch out and do more things for God. But then once we get to that age when we think we could do that, then here we are. We're looking back and we're saying, I used to be stronger. It's a trick of the enemy to cause you to look back or to look forward and to say, and to avoid what's going on right now in your life. What's happening right now. Where you are and where the life of your responsibility before God is concerned. I don't want to live out the days of my life and there be unfinished business. I don't want to do that. I want God's direction. I want to make sure that on Monday morning when I start my day that I am walking in His divine purpose. Hallelujah. Doing what He wants me to do. Fulfilling the days, reaching and ministering and helping and doing whatever I can to touch the lives of people for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's in my heart that this building be filled with people. That this building be filled with people. It's in my heart that there are seekers here, longing for God. That there are new Christians that are growing in the things of the Lord. That there will be life and power and a zeal for the things of God. Right here in the house of God. Amen. As we collectively seek out our purpose and our calling and begin to pursue it with all of our heart. Let me tell you, God can do some wonderful things when we work together for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I have to tell you that, you know, I have had somewhat of a controversy over the last few months with the Lord. And it, a lot of it has had to do, and I've had to pray through this controversy I've had, and it has had to do with Brother Huff. Because I know what kind of a worker he is. And I know that if he had strength, it doesn't matter if he's 80 years old or 81 years old. It really does not make a difference. And I know of someone, I'm acquainted with someone who's in their 90s. And they spend all of their days, all they do is they watch TV. They just, all day long, from morning until night, morning to night. That's the sum total of their life. They watch TV. And I have thought, Lord, I have a controversy with you. Why is that person living in their 90s and they're wasting their days? And I know that if Brother Huff had strength, that the next 10 years would be productive for the kingdom of God. I know that they would be. I know he would be doing things. But you see, that's not up to me. That's up to God. That's up to him. And I have to put that into the hands of the Lord and put it into his will and his purpose, because only God knows what that is. I know that God can heal, and he does heal, and so I'm not saying that I'm arguing with God, maybe just a little bit, but I do know this much. I know that all of us have a certain span in this world, a number of days in this life, and let's use them while we have strength, while we have the ability and the time. Let's use them for the glory of God, to the fulfilling your calling and your purpose for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave this world with unfinished business. I want to do his will. And I pray that that's your heart as well here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I know that there's a work that you have called each of us to. We have a work, we have a ministry, we have a purpose. And Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of your kingdom work. Lord, I just pray that if there are those in this service today that they really haven't even started out seeking your will, they're not saved, they aren't born again, that they would not leave this place without turning their heart over to you and begin to seek out the purpose of God for their life. Oh Lord, speak to the hearts of people in this building today. Cause them to turn their attention toward you, away from their earthly life, the temporary life. And Lord, begin to focus on things that really count for all of eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to ask everybody if you would stand with me in this service. And I think there needs to be a very serious honesty between you and the Lord, every one of us here in this building. These are the things that have been on my heart for some time now. And I think that it needs to be on all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Before I make an appeal to everyone in this congregation, I just want to first of all talk to some of you who may not be serving the Lord. You're not really in right relationship with God, and you know that. God doesn't just expect us just to come to him. Yes, but that's where it starts. First you come to him, and then you go for him. But it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to seek the purpose of God, the will of God for your future, your life, then you need to get saved. You need to be born again. Turn your life over to the Lord. And I just invite you this morning, first of all, just to make a step this direction, right here to the front of this building. If you know that you're not right with God, you know that you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you're not serving the Lord, then I want to invite you just to step out and come here so we can pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know that there are things that are between you and the Lord, and you need to lay those things aside. Put Him first in your life. Praise God. I'd like to just appeal to everybody in this congregation today as to your responsibility before God, your calling, your purpose. No matter what your age, no matter what your circumstance, God has a plan. God has a design for you. Don't live out your days, come to the end of your life with regrets of unfinished business. Oh, but commit yourself to the Lord today, to whatever and however that He wants to use you. Praise God. We're going to gather in here around the altars this morning, and I just invite everybody to come and pray. Everyone, if you're not able to come to the front, kneel there at your seat. If you're not able to kneel, just find a place that you can pray there at your seat. We can all pray together here this morning. But I want to invite everybody to come around the altars this morning. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's make sure that eternal things are really the priority of our life. We live out the days of our sojourn with fear. We live our life to please God and not ourselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's pray. Would you please just call upon the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When life is through, but vain pursuits will come to nothing.